I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Sault Ste. Marie in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Come along and join me for a fascinating conversation with Dave Lorenz, Vice President of Travel Michigan, as he talks about cool things to do and see across the state, including Detroit, Ann Arbor, and, of course, the Upper Peninsula. Dave Lorenz.
Travel Michigan's the official tourism promotion agency for the state of Michigan, and we have developed and managed the Pure Michigan brand to represent all things that are wonderful and good about the state of Michigan.
As you know, I've traipsed around the state a bit myself, Detroit, Ann Arbor, and now I'm up in the top above the mitten. And I obviously love Michigan or I wouldn't keep coming back. But you know so much more about this state than I ever will. So let's just imagine that I was going to spend a weekend here and I flew into Detroit. Where would you take me? We could go anywhere, do anything, got one weekend to show off the state.
So one of our challenges is that the state of Michigan is a really big place. It's a big state, you know. The two peninsula state, people are really well aware of the lower peninsula, that part of the state that looks like a big mitten. And then there's the beautiful upper peninsula just north of that across the Straits of Mackinac. The upper peninsula is just this place of awesome, abundant natural beauty. It's a pretty spectacular place. So, of course, it would always depend on what you really like to do.
You just triggered something in my mind that in one of my favorites is that diversity,
yeah,
of even natural environment. Every time I go somewhere new, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, and, you know, this is a very diverse state as well, both in people. We have people from all backgrounds, as you would hope you'd find in the great melting pot of America. But here it's really very obvious and part of our DNA that we represent peoples from all over the world. And the product itself, you know, the places that you'd go to enjoy. So, for instance, let's say you'd fly into Detroit. Detroit is, I guess I could most easily say, it's just not what people expect. For so many years, Detroit had been just crumbling. You know, 40, 50 years falling apart. And this last, 10, 15 years, it started to slowly come back. People starting to invest in the city and the economy coming back and all that as part of the entire state's economy came back. But what was amazing is that people saw the great value in what used to be this great American city, and entrepreneurs decided to start investing in the city. So today, it is just unbelievable, the development and the growth. And I never thought I would see what we call the M1 rail line coming into to play, where you can use a light rail right on the famed Woodward Corridor, the first, you know, a mile of paved road in America, and the first multiple light working auto light, and of course where the birthplace of the automobile in America, and here we're going to have a light rail system, and this, the riverfront, all now open to people. The energy of Detroit, all the cool things to do, everything from culture and arts to the auto scene and multiple places to go, and just so many things to do.
I discovered that myself. One of the things was like that former railway line,
yeah,
that's now for biking,
yeah,
and walking. That's,
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, it really is neat. The DeQuinder Cut, so you can do all biking. And you'd never think of, you know, Detroit, really, you know, the automobile capital of America. And now every Monday night at 7:30, there's a fellow who has started a movement, really, to just go for a bike ride. And now he might have 3,000-4,000 people going for a bike ride in downtown Detroit. It's pretty spectacular. It's just the whole thing about Detroit and the sports and the entertainment, and we could go on and on. And you could stay there for a week or two and just have a great time and never think about all the other places you could enjoy. But you mentioned Ann Arbor, for instance. Ann Arbor is this really cool town with a, of course, it's the home of the University of Michigan, so you got all that youth and all that artistic creativity there.
And that's really the key to Ann Arbor, isn't it? That's
so.
The magic that drives it.
Yeah, I really think so. I think it's, you know, because those kids really bring a certain vibrancy. I call it the Austin of the Midwest because it's just that good. It's really a cool place.
One thing that I came away with from Ann Arbor is that international character.
Yeah.
And that you can go to an Iranian dinner one night. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole world is there. And again, I think it's because of guys coming out for their PhD and the family moves there.
And the automobile industry has brought people from all over the world. That's actually, you know, Henry Ford, when he came up with the $5 day, that revolutionized the world of industry because nobody thought anybody would be paying that amount of money. And so people came from all over the world. That's why we're so diverse today.
There still is an auto industry here. The Ford 150 plant.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is happening.
Oh, it is happening. We don't build as many cars as we used to because it's a world economy, but we still engineer something like 85% of all the cars in the world are engineered in the Detroit area. So you think about that. It's still the brains of the auto industry worldwide. And then there are unique places in the state. So you just go north of Detroit, for instance, on 75, and you'll end up in a little town called Frankenmuth. It's Little Bavaria. And many years ago, Germans moved there to Christianize the Native Americans. So it looks very much like Bavaria, the traditional Bavaria you would think about, with the interesting buildings and great polka-type Slovenian music all over the place. It's a fun place, too.
Well, how about it's the world's largest Christmas place. Tell us about that. That is America.
Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. Wally Bronner, he was such a great man. He was a former, billboard guy. He sold billboards And then he started to do decorations for Christmas time for businesses. And then he just realized that, hey, you know, people want Christmas things year-round. So he built this store. It's now the largest Christmas store in the world.
What, 7 acres under roof? Crazy.
Like football fields big. Yeah. It's an incredible place. You got to just go there just to check it out. But it's just one of the things that makes Frankenmuth a really fun place to go to. A lot of entertainment, great natural environments as well, a paddle boat, things like that.
One of my favorite discoveries in Michigan was Traverse City.
Yeah,
I could move there. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about the allures of Traverse City.
Yeah, Traverse City is just a wonderful place in the northwest part of the Lower Peninsula. It is, I guess, what I would just have to describe as the perfect community. It really is. I mean, friendly, welcoming people, a beautiful environment, which includes being very close to Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore, which the viewers of Good Morning America called the most beautiful place in America. And if you go there, you'll see why. Huge sand dunes. Huge. You know, you just will not believe it until you go there. 300 yards tall, that type of thing.
You know what got me in Traverse City was the food. Wow.
Yeah, the food is pretty incredible. It's one of our foodie towns, and a lot of towns in Michigan have really turned around the food scene. We mentioned Detroit earlier. In like a year and a half, more than 100 restaurants have opened up in Detroit. Then you look at Traverse City, it's for a long time been known as a great place for really high quality food and a diversity of food as well. You can go from everything from a place like Amicall, I was just there recently, the finest food you'll ever see. And then you go to a place called Sliders, where you get these great burgers in a bag type of thing. You know, so it's just because it goes on and on and on, great food. But it's also a great place for wineries. There are a bunch of wineries. There are a whole bunch of craft beer locations. The shopping scene in the downtown is vibrant, interesting, fun, walkable, cool hotels as well. I'm not one to talk about hotels very often, but there are some really cool boutique hotels there as well.
Let's jump up north to where we are right now. Sault Ste. Marie, what is the draw in your mind?
Yeah, Sault Ste. Marie is not only one of the oldest cities in America, it's really the birthplace of America's North, one of our oldest cities. It became very obvious that this would be a great settlement because of all the fur trading opportunities up here.
You're talking back the 1600s, right?
A long time ago when the Europeans first came here. And of course, because of that, and then because it is on what is now the Sioux Locks, the St. Mary's River, between Lake Superior and Lake Huron, and it had quite a bit of a falls, you know, waterfalls there. So they had to portage ships, big ships, from the lower lakes up into Lake Superior to move product back and forth. So now, of course, it's a place where you can go and visit the Sioux Locks, the busiest locks system in the world. It's just fun to go there and see these big freighters coming by all the time.
You're talking 700 to 1,000 foot long freighters.
Yeah. That's right. The big guys like the Edmund Fitzgerald, and actually very close to Sault Ste. Marie is over in Whitefish Point is the Great Lake Shipwreck Museum, where they actually have the bell of the Edmund Fitzgerald that went down just north and east of the region, Lake Superior. And everybody knows about the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald because of Gordon Lightfoot's song. But just so many great natural and maritime stories to be told here.
Another allure for me is we're sitting in a restaurant in Sault Ste. Marie, and as I look out the window, I'm looking across the street to Canada.
Yeah, you are.
Tell us about that. That's really cool.
It is cool. You know, so here we are in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and just across the river is Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. We're not very innovative with coming up with names here, but we are friends with our friends over in Ontario, and so it's nice that they are this close. And the bridge itself, you see traffic going through all the time. It's a nice thing that you can get to another country and do a two-nation vacation when you come to this area. Bring your passport, because you need that.
A couple of my friends went over today, and I said, well, was it a hassle going through customs? And he goes, not at 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, he said it was a zip right there.
Yeah, it seldom is any issue. But, you know, the whole area has got a real maritime feel. It's got an international feel because of the border and all. You'll find outdoor people who just love this region year-round, fishing, and in the wintertime, some of the best snowmobiling in the country. In fact, the best. The Upper Peninsula is considered the Mecca for snowmobiling because of the hundreds and hundreds of miles of connected, groomed trails in these beautiful natural environments where you go through the beautiful woods and forested areas and overlooks that might look over Lake Superior. It's a spectacularly beautiful place. So, you know, so the Sault Ste. Marie area is one of our more popular places to visit on the east side of the Upper Peninsula. As you go west, just on that Lake Superior shoreline area, there are so many natural, beautiful places, like Tequamenon Falls, one of the biggest waterfall systems in the country, and Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. This was America's first national lakeshore. And you have to go there to really, truly be able to appreciate the beauty of fresh water in pristine, beautiful, clean, clear water. You see 4 quadrillions gallons of water in Lake Superior that is right next to these beautiful sandstone cliffs where the minerals have leached out and have, in effect, painted on the walls of the cliffs. And that's why we call it the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore.
A lot to see and do in Michigan. This is really cool. So probably a week to half a month vacation would be a good starter here.
Yeah, I actually tried to do a week-long vacation in the Upper Peninsula one time. Big mistake. Just too big of a place. So, you know, if you're going to want to experience, like, just the Upper Peninsula, for instance, stick to the regions, like the Sault Ste. Marie area, the Marquette area farther to the west, the Escanaba area west and south, and the Keweenaw Peninsula, the great copper country region for America. All of these unbelievably beautiful places.
What I'd like to do is rent a summer cottage for the whole summer.
Oh,
yeah. Then you could make week-long forays to different areas.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you know, the Lower Peninsula is even bigger, so you would typically do what we always call hub-and-spoking it, where you stay in one place and then kind of take little day trips. So Traverse City is a very popular place. All up and down the Lake Michigan shoreline in Michigan, you'll find these quaint little beach towns. Same thing on the east side of the state, on Lake Huron. And then in the middle of the state, we have a bunch of interesting culture and 11,000 inland lakes. So there's no lacking of water here in Michigan.
How cool. All right. Well, I'm coming back for more.
For further information, just go to Michigan.org. As Tim Allen always says, your trip begins at Michigan.org. And my name is Dave Lorenz. I'm Vice President of Travel Michigan, Pure Michigan, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. What a pleasure to spend a little time with you and come up here to the Canadian border.
That's right.
I love it. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Michigan.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.